is October 24th, 2017. You're looking live at Los Angeles, California. This is episode 7.7 of the Willich Experience Podcast on Sports Earth. I am the aforementioned Willich. I think you spend part of your day with me. You know what I'm trying to say. You hear it all the time. It's World Series preview time. I'm here with Allison Footer. We are both in Los Angeles, but not in the same place because I just landed. I am out in the middle of nowhere. I'm actually not sure. I'm actually by Universal Studios. I'm ready to go. I want to go to one of those spooktacular rides that Frankenstein puts you in. I'm in Los Angeles. We're here for the World Series. How you doing, Allison?
I'm doing great. Happy World Series to you, Will.
Yes, exactly. So I'd like to note two things to start us off, because this is our World Series preview, and we're just going to preview, kind of see what happens, one of our short previews. Number one, congratulations to Nysola's Houston Astros. I know that you, being an impartial reporter and just happenstance a resident of Houston, probably have no thoughts on it, but you were there that night. What was it like?
It was really cool. I had forgotten that, I mean, besides the fact that the Astros had only ever clinched a pennant once in their history, they did it. Oh, you know what? Come to think of it, they did it in St. Louis.
It was the last game at the old Busch Stadium. That's why, isn't that why Roy Oswalt got the bulldozer? Because he bulldozed the old Busch Stadium. It was literally the last game at the old Busch Stadium.
Yep. Right. And that's why they called Dan Wheeler Wrecking Ball, because he recorded the last out. And
great. Good for you. Congratulations.
I also had the last beer there ever, but anyway.
That's cool. I like that.
So the reason I brought it up was not because it happened in St. Louis, but because it happened on the road. Right. So watching the team clinch a pennant in front of their home fans with the roof closed, it was very loud and it was really cool. I was like, hey, it was so thrilling. In a way that it can't be when you're on the road, because it's so quiet. So you're so excited, like the players are so excited, but the place is like deathly quiet. Whereas when you're at home, totally different atmosphere. It was really neat. And they did the trophy, you know, as soon as the last out is made, they start rolling out the stage, you know, to do the trophy presentation. And it was cool. There was still like 35,000 people standing there when they got to that. So, I was really happy for Houston fans. I really was.
Yeah. I've did this myself. There was a lot of talk that ALCS about how great the New York crowd was. And it was, particularly I'd been there for some postseason games where they were pretty lame, but man, that Enron Field crowd looked hot, man. It was hot in there. They really did seem pretty wild in there. And just to be able to experience and be able to have that cool thing, I had to run a half marathon the next morning, so I was listening to the game as I fell asleep. And I fell asleep with like in the eighth inning, when it was 4-0. It looked like it was all going to go. And I woke up to whoever does the post game locker room stuff in Houston. I think he's a former player, but he was screaming.
must have been Steve Sparks.
Sure, that's exactly who it was. He was screaming and doing some sort of beat poetry. It was a very cool thing. Like, clearly one of my favorite things about baseball is when your team makes it to the World Series, you briefly lose your mind. And I have to say, I mean, not to criticize Steve Sparks, I think that's wonderful. It was a really kind of a cool thing. So for Houston to do that, it's now we're here, now in the World Series. We're in Los Angeles where, my God, Allison, it is like, I'm not kidding. It's 100 degrees here.
Yes, it's 100. It's going to be 100 for game one, or 99 for game two. And then everyone's going to leave town and it's going to be 70 the next day.
I know. I mean, I lived in Los Angeles for a little over a year. I've been out here. You've been out here. We've all been out here tons of times. I have never seen it 100 degrees here. I've just never seen it 100 degrees here. I've been in the valley. I've seen it get close, but I have never seen 100 degrees in Dodger Stadium. I'm the dope, as you may remember, Allison, seeing me at World Series before. I always feel like, I always try to pretend it's the 50s, like when people wear suits on planes. I always wear suits to the World Series. I always feel like you should do that. And like, I always
don't,
like,
do that.
Yeah, I'm going to, but I'm going to regret it because it's going to be 100 freaking degrees. I don't know if that really kind of blows my mind, not just as it's like, Los Angeles, but it's late October. It is an unlike any situation. I'm glad it's probably not, probably as good as not in New York, because we'd be going from 100 to like 25, and we would create wind in between the World Series. So I'm curious, now we kind of look, let's go to the series itself. You've been watching Houston all the way through. For me, you know, what Justin Verlander, obviously the Astros offense, it's funny, the Astros offense never, it got going a little bit in Houston, but it really has not been this incredible offense that we saw for most of the year. But it's funny, Verlander has been so awesome. And then to see Charlie Morton, like, wasn't it just like 3 years ago where he couldn't throw over 89? And now he's unbelievable. Now he is a stud and a half. All of a sudden, if you get him, and again, I know the bullpens, I saw there's some argument whether Hinch trusts anybody in his bullpen, but if you get him throwing like that with Verlander and Keuchel and get that offense back going again, I know Los Angeles is the prohibitive favorite in this series, but I don't know, man. Houston looks pretty scary to me if they get everybody going and get that offense going again.
Yeah, I mean, I how I feel about offenses in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like they're slumping. I don't feel like it's something that's gone terribly wrong. And I don't feel like they're going to start scoring 7 runs a game. Right. This is not crappy. Right. Oh, we're playing the Oakland A's and Seattle Mariners and Texas Rangers all in a row. Let's pile on. I'm sorry, this is postseason. So I've been reading all these articles and it's like, oh, where's the Houston offense gone? It's like, dude, pay attention to October. It's an entirely different game. And I realize you have some blowouts, and certainly in the first round, you might see a few of those. By the time you get to the end of the LCS, I'm sorry, that's why these teams are here, because they have good pitching. So to me, it comes down to, and I've said this a million times, the bullpen, the defense, and you get those timely hits. You sneak that ball down the line. You get that solo home run. You know, you move the runners around. I mean, that's what postseason baseball is. And I was kind of thinking that maybe that wasn't the formula anymore when I was watching the Red Sox series. Clearly, that is still formula. So I don't think that we're going to see the Astros offense piling up on any Dodger pitching, because it's the World Series. So I think it's going to be awesome because there's some great pitching on both sides. They do have stacked offenses on both sides, and it's just going to be a matter of, you know, I think they're going to be really close games, all of them.
I think that's the fear, though. Like, it was funny because, like, the Dodgers – the Yankees were basically making games like the Stars could only needed to go 2 or 3 innings if they had to, because they had so many relievers, though I think some of them got knocked around a little bit by the Astros in Game 7. But, you know, one of the things that was kind of interesting, I think a lot of people were picking the Yankees going into Game 7, not just because they didn't trust Morton, which in retrospect was their big mistake, but because Hinch does not seem to trust his bullpen very much now. Is it just Giles now, or is he going to come back? I mean, Davinsky's been awesome all year, and now he seems scared of him. Is the Astros bullpen, like, is he going to trust those guys again? Are they just in a bad spot, or should Astros fans be legitimately worried about their bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you get through a World Series at the bad bullpen, and those guys have not been pitching well. So I think you saw, I mean, even Lance McCullers kind of, not kind of, but like told us after the game, after Game 7, that AJ had called him after Game 6. He had just pulled into his driveway, and AJ said, "You're pitching in Game 7, expect to get the ball, keep it for a while, and finish out the game." So in AJ's mind, this was Morton, McCullers, and nobody else.
That's crazy.
and you might need McCullers to like move into the rotation, right? Yeah. So it's not an ideal situation, but the best team did not win. Now you have the two best teams in baseball, and the fact that the Astros bullpen has a 6 ERA in October is worrisome. Sorry, but you know, this Dodger lineup is patient. Yeah. We didn't see a lot of patience in the LCS on either side. So, you know, and that's obviously excitement, nerves, you know, all that stuff, but this could be, it will be an issue for the Astros if Verlander, you know, takes it down a notch.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I can see it being close games, but also a little bit lopsided series.
Yeah, I have to say, though, I don't know what's going to happen with the Astros and Verlander this series, but it was all worth it for that Todd Frazier swing. Like, in all honesty, like, that's what it looks like. Like, that pitch by Verlander, like, that's like, if he ever goes in the Hall of Fame, that is going to be one of the definitive pitches. Because that was, when he's on like that, but it's funny, you're right, like, you know, we've talked a lot in all of our previews of the of these series about how my, I think now clearly outdated notion of that, that pitchers have a bunch of power, of starting pitchers have a bunch of power in this series. And to me, that's kind of what the Astros are riding on, right? Like, this is really right. the Astros' plan. They need Verlander, if particularly if he really just doesn't trust anybody other than Giles anymore. And it feels like you've got, like, Devinsky was good all year. Like, you know, it feels like you've got to eventually trust some of these guys. But right now, it seems like the Astros are basically counting on Verlander and Keuchel and even Morton going six or seven innings every game, and that's if they and or McKellar's filling in if he doesn't start. Like, that is asking a lot, and you're right, particularly against a team like the Dodgers, who, you know, run deep, and that, you know, they've shown even the last couple of years that lefties can get them. I think Keuchel, I think, should be a sleeper MVP candidate for the series, because Dodgers have traditionally struggled with left-handers. But you're right. If that bullpen, not just if the bullpen doesn't get better, but if Hinch doesn't trust the bullpen, I think that's where the fear is. And particularly, you know, it's funny, we're all excited about a Kershaw Verlander game one start, which seems amazing. It'll be so fun. But again, they both may both be out by the sixth inning. And if that's the case,
Kershaw Keuchel game one.
Okay, and then Verlander game two. So, but regardless, we got all these Cy Young winners. We got all excited about these starts, and then these guys are going to be out by the sixth inning, and then the game's really decided.
Right. Yeah, that's what it comes down to all the time. And yeah, I mean, we've seen some unbelievable starts by Verlander, and he's gone nine, and then he went seven. And so he's probably going to need to keep doing that. I mean, the one good thing, it's kind of like a catch 22. I mean, the Astros bullpen, I should say the Yankees bullpen, they ran out of gas. Yeah. So that was just a matter of they had hit the wall and they were done. The Astros are better rested because they're not being used as much.
Right. Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Also, I am very rested for this series because I have not pitched either, because nobody trusts me to throw anything either. But you're right, you know, but the Dodgers are really rested across the board. Like, they just got to chill out while the Yankees and Astros were kind of beating each other's brains in.
How many games have they played? They played
one more than the minimum. They lost one to the Cubs.
Right.
So they've been,
yeah, and their that series, went five. So yeah. They played eight games.
Yeah. And their series was over a day earlier anyway. So regardless, it was already on a different cycle. So Kershaw could actually, I think he's at like 5 or 6 days rest at this point. So, And again, at this point, it's not so much how far you can go. Cause again, if the Dodgers get a lead or they're not going to hesitate to take out Kershaw anyway and use him in the sixth, in game six or game five, or start game five and throw game seven. Like, that's the way it all kind of works right now. So,
absolutely.
But it is funny to think the Astros have been, it's just strange. I'm curious if someone has watched Hinch all year. The Astros all year have kind of been this team that's had unconventional bullpen roles and has had a guy like Devinsky who was kind of used in that way. And now at the time where when everyone else is using that strategy, because it's the postseason, the Astros aren't doing it. And you wonder if that's going to be an issue. My last question, I know you're short on time. I know we're talking a lot about the Astros because the Dodgers have just kind of been this juggernaut across the board. But I still want to ask one thing about the Astros. To me, you know, one thing, the star of this series, the guy that is the crossover hit. Every time I look at a World Series, I'm always like, who does someone that's tuning in for baseball now, who is the person I really want them to see? And is that guy in the series? Jose Altuve is that guy in this series. In this series, he is that one that I want everyone that doesn't watch baseball regularly to watch and then tell me if they don't like baseball afterwards. And so I'm curious. He obviously was huge in the League Championship Series and huge in Game 7. Do you think, is there a sense, like, it seems like the whole team, for a team that's got a bunch of young players and it's got Correa and all of these guys, it still feels like Altuve is the guy. If he's hot, remember, he had a little struggle in the middle of the LCS. When he's hot, they win, and when he's not, they lose.
Yeah. I mean, it really shouldn't be that way with the offense that they have, but I mean, I think that might be oversimplifying it a little bit. He just makes things happen, whether it's hitting a home run or whether it's making his way around the bases, creating runs. I mean, he's everything that you want in what will eventually be an MVP of the American League. And he's the spark plug, and he's like a middle of the order guy. He's not the leadoff guy. He's just amazing. There's just no more words for what he means to this team. I felt like he was the MVP of the ALCS. Of course, it's hard not to give it to Verlander, but I thought if there's ever a time for co-MVPs, and they had it in the National League, yeah. My God, people.
That was weird, by the way. Was that just a tie in the voting? Yeah, it was weird. Just like, I find co-MVPs always a little suspicious, because like, oh, the voting just went exactly right down the middle. Okay.
And how do you differentiate between two dominant starts by Justin Verlander? So without that, they don't even get out of the division series, but they certainly don't win the LCS. Or, four home runs or whatever, 600 batting average. I mean, it's insane. Like, how do you differentiate between the two? I think they both deserve it. It's no big deal. Nobody cares. It's the MVP of a postseason series. Nobody cares.
Like, all right.
It's fun to talk about. So,
all right. So we've come this far. What is your pick for this series?
I predict a Dodgers in five, to be honest with you.
Okay. So, I'm picking Dodgers in six. I feel like Verlander has a big game and there's one game where the bats get hot. They make him go back to Los Angeles, but, that would be a bummer. You talk about one thing I like that you mentioned was that the Astros did clinch at home, and we have not had that in the World Series since 2013, a team clinching at home. That's been a while since that happened.
The Astros are not clinching at home.
If they win it, they're not doing it in five games. That would be cool. That would be cool. That would be fun. But yes, I understand. All right, Allison, I will see you out there in the 150 degree heat at the end of October in Los Angeles. I'm delighted to get out there. I'm delighted to get out to see you in Houston, because you're going to be like the unofficial mayor of everybody coming to Houston. So I'm assuming everyone's just camping out on your back porch. It's just everyone's sleeping out there.
Well, I don't have a back porch, and I'm going to be the unofficial mayor. I think I've always been the unofficial mayor.
I know, but now everybody's here. Everybody's here now. Like, everybody, like, that's true. During the Super Bowl, you were in, you were hosting everybody in the Super Bowl. And this is baseball.
I've already been to LTFO with the staff twice. If that gives you any idea how my October's going.
Yep. I absolutely understand that. All right, Allison, I'll see you out at Dodger Stadium and at Enron Field. Enjoy the games. As always, subscribe to the podcast. Music by the Haraway Brothers. We'll see you. Everybody, enjoy the World Series. It should be a blast. Be safe.